The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
US House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has outlined plans to remove President Donald Trump from office before starting an impeachment process. The House of Representatives would vote on a resolution calling on Vice President Mike Pence to remove Mr. Trump's presidential powers using the 25th Amendment. If such a move was to happen, it would install Pence as president until Joe Biden's inauguration. But if this move fails, Democrats will then introduce a charge of incitement of insurrection against President Trump over his role in the events of last Wednesday, when a mob of thousands of Trump supporters violently stormed the Capitol. The first vote on impeachment could happen as early as today or tomorrow. Nancy Pelosi spoke to 60 Minutes yesterday.
Is anybody running the executive branch of the government? Who is running the executive
branch? Well, sadly, the person who's running the executive branch is a deranged, unhinged, dangerous president of the United States. And only a number of days until we can be protected from him. But he has done something so serious that there should be prosecution against him.
There is a possibility that after all of this, there's no punishment, no consequence, and he could run again for president.
And that's one of the motivations that people have for advocating for impeachment.
Won't that take more than the 10 days? I mean, does it actually make sense?
Well, I like the 25th Amendment because it gets rid of him. He's out of office. But there is strong support in the Congress for impeaching the president a second time. This president is guilty of inciting insurrection. He has to pay a price for that.
Most Republicans are opposing the calls for impeachment so far. This is Republican Congressman James Comer of Kentucky.
I am opposed to impeaching Donald Trump again. This is a stunt by Pelosi. She knows that the president only has 7 days left at that point in his presidency. It will never have enough time to go to the Senate for the full hearing. So this is a stunt. This is clearly a stunt, and it's unfortunate because if she's truly concerned about trying to unite America and to lower the temperature, then when she talks about impeachment again, not only does that agitate the right, it inflames the left, and she feeds the left. This is a stunt to try to motivate her base. And we're at a time in America where we just need to lower the temperature.
Interesting. Well, he's got to pay for his misdeeds. And of course, if he was successfully impeached and convicted, he could not run for office again. And I think he would lose his Secret Service protection. I mean, the state paying for the protection of Donald Trump is probably something that people find hard to swallow. However, Trump has not won the undisputed support of all of his party colleagues. This is Republican Senator Ben Sasse.
And so the House, if they come together and have a process, I will definitely consider whatever articles they might move, because as I've told you, I believe the president has disregarded his oath of office. He swore an oath to the American people to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. He acted against that. What he did was wicked.
The attack on the Capitol on Wednesday was, of course, not an isolated incident, but rather the latest and most shocking event in an increasingly dangerous U.S. political scene. Gabriel Sterling is a top Georgia election official who was the public face of the state's presidential election count. He told 60 Minutes about some of the death threats he has received after President Trump attacked the integrity of the state's elections.
Well, once the president and the senators called for the secretary to resign, his wife started getting sexualized death threats on her personal phone.
Secretary of State's wife.
Yes. And then he got death threats, and then not long after, I started getting them, mainly because I was out there running headlong directly against what the president was saying was true with the actual facts. So one that actually hit me, that stuck with me, it didn't really hit me because at some level I know it's people venting, but people are crazy. And in light of what happened this week at the Capitol, you never know. But a person said, enjoy your last birthday cake. Another one, I got emails. They would have a picture of my house and my address and say, sleep with one eye open. You know, things like that. So they stick with you. But you can't let it control what you do.
A picture of your house and your address with the threat, sleep with one eye open.
Yes.
After what happened at the Capitol, that must take on new meaning.
Well, I will say this. The day the thing did happen at the Capitol, I did not sleep in my home that night. I slept somewhere else only just in case.
And that's a Georgia election official, Gabriel Sterling. We're joined on the line by Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at NUIG, columnist at thejournal.ie. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, it seems on the face of it, he deserves to be impeached, which is, if you like, charged or indicted. But will it happen?
Well, I think that Nancy Pelosi has made her intention pretty clear. And I think almost as last time, but with even more effect, I think she's being driven to this by her membership. Democrats in the House want action taken against this president, and they want it taken immediately. That's why she's issued this ultimatum to Mike Pence. Basically, you have 24 hours in which to declare to take your powers under the 25th Amendment, or we're going to go ahead. And I have no doubt that she's very, very serious about doing so. And I think in this case, because of what happened last Wednesday was a game changer. And I think that for politicians of any stripe to stand idly by after the president's behavior last Wednesday would be wrong.
Now, even if it is a bit hypocritical and self-serving on the part of various people like Comer there, don't they have a point that the process has no chance of being complete by the time Trump would actually be out of office anyway?
Well, that's true. But I think one of the things underpinning this is first the need to take a stance, to make a statement. And then secondly, as Nancy said in the interviews there, this idea that if the president were to be ultimately convicted by the Senate, and I think that that's something of a 50-50 proposition, given the composition of the Senate. If that were to happen, then a simple majority vote would prevent the president from standing for federal office ever again. It would. Now, I believe he's removed himself from the equation, to be frank, but it would fully remove the president from the equation. Could that galvanize opposition? Could that incite some of his followers? Maybe. But to be frank, Pat, I think we're already there. I don't see how much worse things could get.
What do you make of the number of Republicans who have said he did commit impeachable actions? Now, whether the process goes ahead or not is still open to question. But the mood in the Republican Party, are they finally beginning to, you know, find some courage somewhere and face down the nightmare that has been Donald Trump?
Well, I think there's definitely been a big shift against the president and against the president personally within the upper echelons of the Republican Party. The tricky thing here for Republicans is they need to recognize, and I think they do recognize, the fact that Trump's rebranding of conservatism has worked to their political advantage, and that effectively they need to keep on with some of those mantras, but they need to move away from the man. The difficult thing for them is ascertaining the extent to which Trump's support, those 74 million votes he got, to what extent is that down to the message, and to what extent within the Republican grassroots has a cult of personality built up around Donald Trump? That's the really key political tightrope that they're trying to walk. And I know that from an idealistic or moral standpoint, Republicans should simply walk away and repudiate the president, et cetera, et cetera. And I agree with that. But there are some political realities that they invariably must consider in this process.
Now, Mike Pence, the enabler in chief, I mean, he never spoke up against his president when he did all sorts of bad things. And certainly the words that he uttered via tweet or in person, the insulting words, Pence was silent. And it looks as if he's even going to swallow what Donald Trump did to him and his family on Capitol Hill last Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Pence, in terms of being a sycophant, in terms of swallowing everything and staying with the president no matter what, yet it's still not enough for Donald Trump. It's actually quite extraordinary. Now, the word is that Trump, that Mike Pence is seething behind closed doors, and he is holding out the use of the 25th Amendment if the president does something else reckless. But like the others, Mike Pence also has his own political ambitions with respect to 2024. And I suspect those ambitions are circumscribing all of his actions. And all of this, again, Pat, I know it's not nice, but all of this is down to political considerations and to the 2022 and or 2024 election. That's what's hamstringing a lot of Republicans from acting more decisively. Behind closed doors, they absolutely know that the president incited an insurrection. There's no question about that, but their reticence is down to politics.
And then the images of the Confederate flag, which is the symbol of racism and slavery, being paraded through the halls of the atrium between the Senate and the House chambers. That must get even the most diehard Trump fans who still see themselves as being the party of Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, it's appalling. And I think that, you know, the use of the Confederate flag, I think it highlights one of the elements of Donald Trump's appeal that's still there. One of the things that I suspect animates a large number of those radicals and those rioters and those criminals who gathered in Washington, D.C., and that is racism. I think there's no escaping that bottom line reality, that some of them are motivated by that. And it's appalling. It's absolutely appalling to see the Confederate flag being, walking through, the Capitol building. A war was fought about that stuff, and a war was won on that about that stuff. And it's just disgraceful and disgusting to see what happened. And that's why, Pat, Wednesday was the game changer. You'll note that my own rhetoric has shifted a good deal since Wednesday, because I see just how bad things have gotten, and urgent action needs to be taken.
Donald Trump being banned for life from Twitter, being suspended, however, temporarily from Facebook and Instagram. When I watch the people in the White House like rats deserting a sinking ship, you can see what the social media giants are doing, trying to curry favor in some way with the incoming administration. But quite frankly, too little, too late.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, look, you know, this is a tension that I think is going to continue to play itself out. And it is, you know, with respect to the American political culture and the American constitutional culture versus the rest of the world. A lot of Twitter and social media's lawyers would be, you know, American trained lawyers who would be First Amendment purists in lots of instances. That is, just about anything goes in terms of speech. The rest of the world sees that matter quite differently. And I think that tension is going to continue to play itself out. In terms of what's happening now, and you're seeing a lot of people on the right who are saying this is ridiculous that Trump has been shut down. Given all the stuff that we're hearing about what might be coming down the road, organizations of further violence, et cetera, I think they had no choice in the public interest and for public safety but to shut down Donald Trump's accounts. Because, again, God knows what he might be capable of. God knows how what he tweets and posts on these platforms might be read by some of his more unhinged followers. Mm.
Do you think he will face criminal prosecution either at state level? And I'm thinking of Georgia, where he attempted to intimidate officials into finding votes that didn't exist to change the result of that state. And who knows what other conversations he had. Is he likely to do that? And in the event that he did engineer some legal technicality to pardon himself, which I doubt would hold, would he still be in jeopardy from actions by individual states?
Yes, he would. And I think that the game has changed again on that front after Wednesday. I think that the possibility of him facing criminal prosecution has expanded tenfold since what we saw on Wednesday. Indeed, he could face criminal charges under both federal and local statute in the District of Columbia for incitement. So I think that the possibility of him facing, especially, and the key thing, Pat, and I think this is where you saw some of what he was saying change greatly. The key thing in Washington was the death of the Capitol Police officer. That really, in my view, potentially has exposed him to criminal liability in the District of Columbia on that front. Mm. And of course, we know there's a range of other criminal charges he could face. I think, in short, I think the possibility of him facing criminal charges has increased hugely as a result of Wednesday's activities and what the American people were so horrified by.
And Officer Sicknick, they lower the flag to half-mast on the Capitol building, not on the White House. And it turns out that Officer Sicknick was, in fact, a Donald Trump supporter who put his duties first, though, and paid for it with his life rather than any political, private political loyalties he might have had. Anyway, we shall watch how the day and the week unfolds. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at NUIG, thank you very much for joining us.